Today's reading starts in Mark chapter 10, verse 35. Mark chapter 10, verse 35. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And he said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. So as they're going along, James and John approach Jesus, and they're having a request of him. Now, it's interesting that if you go over to Matthew's account in Matthew chapter 20, you see that it is the mother of the sons of Zebedee that came up to him with her sons. And kneeling before him, she asked him for something, and he said to her, "What do you want?" So the difference may simply be just that James and John wanted this, and maybe mom got involved, I'm not sure. But it is interesting that it's presented a little bit differently between the two. But the request is the same, and the way that Jesus is approached is the same. So I'm not sure. Maybe they just, you know, get Jesus' attention. Let's go over here and let's have a private conversation, or they do this. However, it comes to the point that the other disciples know about it because they heard the what Jesus' response were, and they began to be indignant at James and John. I think mainly because they would presume to ask for those two positions of honor for themselves. If you go back up to Mark 10, verses 33 and 34, if you take these events as consecutive, then you see that he had already told them he was about to be delivered up to the chief priests and the scribes, be condemned to death, delivered over to the Gentiles, where they will mock him and spit on him, flog him, and then kill him. And after 3 days, he will arise. So I always wonder how James and John thought all this was going to work out. But we see that the disciples had some of the same misconceptions that the rest of the Jews had about it being a physical kingdom that was going to come about. So how did they view Jesus telling them that he was going to be delivered up and he was going to die? Did they understand? Did they figure that what he was saying was that they were going to try to do these things, but Jesus would be able to win over the situation or win over the people, win over the whole thing and, you know, fight or whatever it might be? But here they are. They've just heard him say this, and then they say, "We want to ask you something. We want to ask a favor." And personally, I think it was pretty presumptuous the way that they present it when they say, "We want for you to do whatever we ask of you." If somebody said that to me, "Hey, I want you to do whatever I ask of you," I mean, I'm not wanting to agree to that, because that tells me they're going to ask something big. Otherwise, they would just ask. So they make this request, and Jesus says, you really don't understand what you're asking. Are you really able to go through the things that I'm going to go through? Because if you're asking for this, then you got to go through it all. And they say yes. Again, I don't think that they understand what he's referring to. And he says, well, you will have to drink that cup, and you will be baptized with that baptism. But for you to sit at my right and my left, that's for those it has been prepared. Again, the other ten hear it, they're indignant at him, and Jesus uses this as a teaching moment. That's normal for Jesus. Almost everything is a teaching moment with him. And uses this time to teach them about, you know, the rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them. But that's not the way it's going to be with you. With you, you're going to serve each other. With you, in order to be first, you've got to be last. In order to be great, you've got to serve. And that is the nature of the kingdom. Serving God, yes, but serving each other. That's what we're doing. The reason he uses the Gentiles as an example here to say, look at them, they lord themselves over other people, is to say that's the way of the world. That's the way people do it when they don't have God. When you have God, your attitude is different, and the way you treat your fellow man is different. And so, for the Gentiles, they're thinking about how much power can I have? How much can I control the situation? How much can I be promoted over everybody else? But for you, you're going to promote others. You're going to be thinking about them first. You're going to outdo one another with love. And in verse 45, he says, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. If we're truly following that example of Christ, then we're going to have a similar attitude, that we're willing to give of ourselves, even to the point of death, in order to promote the best good for somebody else, for us to care about them, to love them as one loves himself. So Jesus teaches things that are radically different than what the world follows. He teaches things that are going to require us to change our thinking and thus change our actions. The problem is when we allow those things to sort of creep back in, when we let that worldly way of thinking just kind of slowly come back into our minds and then affect the way that we conduct ourselves. We have to constantly be developing humility and showing humility toward others and serving God and others the way that he intends for us to do. The church is not a situation where we try to grab power and be over others. The church is a situation where we constantly ask, what can I do for God and my fellow man? What can I do for others? And so this culture that Jesus institutes, this culture where, you know, love God, love your neighbor as yourself, are the guiding principles. That's what the church is built on. And that's also, by the way, how we maintain unity. We can only maintain unity in the bond of peace by adopting those particular attitudes. Because the moment we let go of those attitudes of love God first, then love your neighbor as yourself, then you're not going to serve the way that God wants. And the church is not going to be at peace. And the church is not going to help each other grow. It's just not going to work. We have to follow the example of Jesus. And we have to not be served, but serve ourselves. Not serving ourselves, but serve others. And so today, maybe we need to think about this, that we pray that we have a heart like Jesus, a heart that thinks about everybody else, and a heart that is ready to serve, ready to do the will of the Father in all things. And let's pray about that today. And also, please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.